This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a closer look at major human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. Today we'll be discussing a culture of violence that's become deeply entrenched in Iranian society. State violence in the form of inhumane executions, cruel and unusual punishments, brutality in response to public dissent, and ill treatment and torture throughout the judicial system, it's pervasive, and some argue that Iran's citizens have become acclimated and desensitized to this violence. Our guest, Ramin Jahanbegloo, is an Iranian philosopher, academic, and scholar on nonviolence. In April 2006, he was arrested at Tehran's airport and charged with preparing a Velvet Revolution. He was placed in solitary confinement for 4 months and then later released on bail. He's now based in Canada, where he teaches political science at York University in Toronto. He's most widely known for his work promoting dialogue between cultures and his advocacy for nonviolence. Dr. Jahanbegloo, thank you for joining us. Let's talk about what you call a culture of violence in Iran.
I think the best example of this culture of violence as it is practiced by the Iranian government today, I think, is the death penalty. The capital punishment itself, I think, is a form of premeditated murder.
Iran has the highest per capita execution rate in the world and annually executes more people than almost any other country. It's also one of the very few countries to carry out public executions. And you believe that this has a deep effect on its citizens.
When we're talking about how this culture of violence is practiced, we have to know that it's not only practiced vertically from the government to the citizens, but it's also practiced somehow among the citizens themselves. For example, when they go and they watch a hanging, a person getting hanged on a street in Tehran. In a country like Iran, you have not only the executor, which is the state, but you have people who participate in the execution, watching the execution as witnesses. So the problem, I think, it will be doubled, because we are not talking only about the imposition of capital punishment in a country like Iran, but we are also talking about the internalization of the psychology of capital punishment of culture of violence by those who accept to take their children, even their children, to go and watch a man getting hanged or a woman getting hanged.
So what actually happens at a public execution?
The person who is supposed to be hanged, either man or woman, is brought in a public space. This person is put on a truck, and they ask people to assemble. Most of the time, they do it in an area of the city where people know previously that there's going to be a hanging. And so it's done usually early in the morning, maybe 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. So it's very amazing that you have people gathered there at that time of the day. But in any case, they bring the person, and the person is the face is covered during the hanging, and they actually hang the person in front of the eyes of the public with a crane. And they just let the person die and stay there for a couple of minutes, I would say, which adds actually to the atrocity.
Now, to those of us living in a country that doesn't practice public execution, it seems inconceivable to voluntarily go to one. And yet, people bring their children to watch executions. Some people even eat sunflower seeds, which is the equivalent of eating popcorn like when you go to the movies. Do you have any insight into why someone would go?
Well, before I think that this has to do with the banalization of violence. I mean, when people go and watch a hanging, it means that Not only that they are enjoying it in a very sadistic way, but it's just that death penalty has become so banalized, it has become a banality that people don't really think about their own responsibility as citizens watching a man or a woman getting hanged.
Earlier, you mentioned the internalization of the psychology of capital punishment. There have been stories in the news recently about children playing something called the execution game, where they are actually pretending to be hanged, and some have actually died playing this game.
Games among children are copies of the reality. So when children are playing the game of hanging, it means that they have already witnessed a hanging, or they have heard about it, or they think of it in terms of just of a very simple social relationship, an innocent one. It's like when children play war games, you know. It means that for them, war is not a form of violence, but war accompanies military pomps and circumstances, and they like only the fireworks side of it. So for them, this aspect of violence is completely dissipated in the mentality of making a game out of it. And there is no signification of violence in it. It just becomes a game. And that's what I think is the most dangerous angle to it in the process of internalization of violence.
Let's talk about other forms of state-sponsored brutality, such as cruel and unusual punishments, in addition to execution. And often these are used as a tool to stifle dissent.
When we address the question of violence in the Iranian prisons, we, and at the political level also, and at the level of the political prisoners or prisoners of opinion, and not just in the case of the criminals, I think that once again, we have to think of it in terms of the culture of hostility. The social relationship is mostly based on the fact that the person who is tortured or executed or put into prison is a hostile person for the Iranian society, instead of having a very hospitable, I would say, and more just view of this person. So we're talking about not only to condemn them but as acts of violence, but also to find ways of replacing them by designing, I would say, new forms of living together, new forms of compromise, new forms of community life. This is where it's mostly important for a person like me who puts a lot of time to think about nonviolent mechanisms of social relationship, and also try to find ways to empower, I would say, citizens and individuals to struggle for justice and for human rights in a society like Iran.
Why do you think it's important right now to talk about lessening violence in Iranian society?
Well, I think that this is a very important issue to talk, especially since we have many reforms and changes happening in the domestic policy and into foreign policies of Iran. And it's important that when a society is in the process of changing, it has to, I think, to come face to face with its own vulnerabilities and all its own problems, which an escalating level of violence. Otherwise, it cannot somehow rationalize its own domestic and foreign policies.
How feasible is it to campaign to put an end to inhumane punishments and executions when they have religious roots coming from Sharia Islam?
It's interesting that the new generation of human rights activists are more conscious and more sensitive towards the fact that struggling for human rights is not just a judicial process. You have to do that at the level of the implementation of laws and the international courts and many other things, but it's also a struggle at the level of mentality. So I think that the new wave of campaigns which we see for the promotion of human rights in Iran are mostly accompanied by focus on also I would say norms, values, and modes of thinking which are behind the violations of human rights in Iran. So I would say I think that this is the right process of thinking about human rights hand in hand with the promotion of nonviolent strategies in a country like Iran, and this, I suppose, it takes us to a more bright future.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much.
That was Ramin Jahanbegloo, Iranian philosopher, academic, and scholar on nonviolence. You can see links to his work at jahanbegloo.com. That's all for this edition. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening.